Hope you're doing well. I'm on a preaching train right now. I preached yesterday at a youth conference during like a little workshop interactive. That was super fun, a cool opportunity. It's a total different opportunity to like teach and just interact with students in a fun way about, we talked about procrastination and stuff. And then this is my second message, and I'm preaching again tonight. So we're rolling on the train this morning. So I'm really excited to be here. Today's message is titled Subject to Change. Subject to Change. If you're taking notes, I will have my points on the screen for you. So if you're taking notes I don't know if you take notes on your phone or in a journal or something, but it's actually kind of funny how that title came to be. I was meeting with Brian about what we were talking about, and so I told him that my title was Subject to Change, and he was like, wow, that's a great title. And I was like, literally meaning like, it's not official, like it's subject to change. So that's how it came to be. But it's a series we're going through right now in our youth group, talking about, it's basically just seeing God's greater purpose for us. And so it goes right along with Brian's message called, what is it called? Which way? That's what it is, yeah. About finding your path. Subject to change. That is subject to change, yes. All right, so I have a quick story for you before I jump in. So how many of you guys used to play with like action figures when you were little? Action figures, anyone? Only like three people? Oh, come on, guys. Okay, how many people still play with action figures? Barbies, dolls, those all apply. Okay, that's fine, yeah, dolls, stuff like that. So G.I. Joes, yes. Anything that was a doll. This is a little stormtrooper that sits on our desktop at the youth room. It's from one of my students. He guards our computer at night. So most of you probably played with some form of doll or action figure when you were growing up. About what age do you think, and anyone can shout it out, what would you think that someone stops playing with action figures? 12, that's usually a good, yeah, I would say so too. So I was 15 years old one, and just going into my sophomore year in high school. Wow. Hey, don't judge, okay? Don't judge, not yet anyway. Okay, let me do this. Okay, here we go. So I was 15 years old, and I used to go and play in my garage, like because I didn't have much video games and stuff then. I didn't grow up with cool stuff like that. So I had to use my imagination, and so I still thought it was fun. But I didn't want anyone to know about it, obviously. So I'm 15 years old, and I'm in my garage, and there's this pool table. This will be my pool table as an example up here. And it was just like this open pool table. It was really nice and stuff. And I used it, I don't know, what it would be when I was little, like growing up, I'd use it as like a football field. I'd use it, whatever my imagination could think of. So I'm playing with these dolls, action figures. That's funny. This is already so embarrassing. So you're getting the real taste of who I am. So I was playing these action figures. One was Max Steel. Does anyone know who Max Steel is? It was like the old version, like the original Max Steel, though. Cool. Not the new cruddy ones for kids. And then I had this Captain America one that didn't have a head and he was missing an arm. But for some reason, those were my two favorites. I had a ton of them. So I'm like fighting these guys. So I'm like, psh, 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 ha. And then so there's a little thing, like an access to the attic of our garage that would go, like when the door would open, it would go, like the pressure from it would go, like it would make it go up. And so the door, like I was hidden, no, I wasn't hidden at all, actually. So the door opened, and so I'm playing there here, and I'm just like, ah! And I look, and my parents are right there, and they're like, hey, what you doing? And I'm like, nothing, just checking out the pool table. It's pretty nice. Did you get some new felt on it? And so I'm just like trying to play it off like they totally didn't see me. But they totally did. So from that day on, and keep in mind, that was a decade ago. So don't judge me. I just say decade because it sounds longer than 10 years. But this is 10 years ago. I've grown up since, okay? Even though I still have them laying around all the time wherever I am. So, but I don't play with them, I promise. But there was a time when I needed to grow up, and I think that moment, it came from like a scare for my parents, but I needed to grow up. I needed something needed to change. Did I start this just in case? Yeah, I did, okay. And we have you heard the phrase, God has a purpose for your life? God has a purpose for your life. Who has heard that before? So when I was in church and I was a kid, I always heard that phrase, and I was just like, that is so awesome that God would have a purpose for me. And then I would think, but what the heck does that mean? That's just a loaded statement. God has a purpose for my life. So let's talk about that. So that is, so if you're taking notes, this isn't one of my points, but it's something where I'm going to go with this. And it's really that God has a greater purpose in saving us. God has a greater purpose in saving us. So in 2 Timothy 1:9, this is like the main verse that we're going to look at today. It says, He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. That statement alone, let's look at that statement, called us to a holy life. He saved us first, right? And then He's called us to a holy life. The statement alone says that God has a greater purpose for us. The statement alone says that. And He has saved us, but that's not where we stop. We don't stop at salvation. I think oftentimes as Christians we do stop there. And so hopefully I can open your mind up here throughout this message. We are called to live a holy life after being saved. So what does it look like to live a holy life? What does living a holy life actually look like? And I think Pastor Brian mentioned this last week, but it basically just means to be set apart. To be set apart from the ways of the world. And we can live a holy life by being obedient to God in all areas of our life. To being obedient to God in all areas of our life. And in 1 Peter 1:14 through 16 says, As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He has just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So let's keep reading that 1 Timothy one real quick. Let's go back to that one really quick. And it says, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. So not because of something that we've done, that we've earned, that we can be, that we get to live this holy life, but because of something that someone else has done for us. So that leads us into my first point here, which is, without Jesus, there is no purpose. Without Jesus, we have no purpose. When I was growing up, and not growing up, let's go back just to when I was like 18. So when I was just out of high school, I lacked purpose. I didn't know what I wanted to do in life. And I'm sure you guys, how many of you are like college people, and how many of you changed at least two majors in the midst of that? Yeah. So like it's hard to decide like what you feel like you're supposed to be doing in life. And I really lacked this kind of purpose. And out of high school, the first thing I went to is I went to school ministry because I felt like I was called to ministry, but I didn't know what that meant or anything like that. So I went to the Bethel School Ministry in 2013 for my first year. And it's safe to say that I didn't do incredible. In fact, I failed the first year so bad that they kicked me out. So this was my first run at what I felt like God had called me to. I didn't do my work. I played video games all day during class, after class, when I went home, during class, after class. This was over and over and over with my friends there. And it was, we all failed, actually. So, but ultimately, it didn't work out. So then I'm just feeling like hopeless. Like, man, what did I do? And obviously I knew what I did, but then I just felt like I couldn't go back, and I didn't have any purpose anymore. So then I started looking in other things, other jobs. So then this opportunity came up where I was going to join the Air Force, and I was going to be doing like radar tech, doing like dispatching basically for the Air Force, where we'd send jets out and intercept planes, and we'd watch like the borders and see any like illegal activity or suspicious activity in the air and stuff. So one of my good friends who is he's the war commander of the Air Force was asked me if that's something I want to do. So I went and did, took a tour and everything. I went and did all the medical stuff. I went to MEPS, and it was really this really awkward experience and all this stuff, and it was just this culture shock. I mean, there was some, I didn't know anything about the military at the time. So literally, they came, and this is how ridiculously like uneducated I was. So I went into the hotel, and they're like, okay, what division? And I'm like, I don't know, the military? Military division? I don't know. And they looked at me like I was so stupid. And they're like, what division? They got really mad. And then I was like, I don't know. And they're like, they'd say, named them off for me. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense now. So, then, because I'm so smart, then I went and worked at McDonald's for 2 years. So which was a great job, by the way. It was a great people job. I'm really thankful for it. So I worked at McDonald's, and then I worked at Starbucks, and I'm just trying to figure out, man, what am I going to do? I'm not making any money. I'm spending it on stupid stuff. I got nothing going on. So then, after all that, I finally make it back to the school ministry. I'm like, okay, God, like, there was a lot of, and this is when I met Samantha, really. It was when I, not met her, but when we started dating. Started getting back into it and really feeling that God's call back to it. So then I just decided, okay, I'm just going to give it another go. And I still, though, like when I went, though, I still lacked that purpose. I didn't have any motivation to do anything. I was bitter. I was really quick to anger. I didn't know what I needed to do. And I'm a person who is a fix-it person. Who's a fix-it person, like, out there? So when Samantha gets like, and she can attest to this, whenever she gets like frustrated or flustered about anything, I always figure out like, how do I like up her mood like after that? I'm like, okay, what do I do to fix that? And then it makes her more mad when I try to fix it, of course, because then I'm just like doing all these things and I'm frantic and I'm like trying to, I still do this all the time actually. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, it's my fault. And I just put it on myself and I'm like, I'm sorry. And then even though like it was like the dog pooped and it was everywhere, and it's not like, I don't even know. Oh, yeah, we got a puppy like 2 days ago, by the way. So that's the only reason why I'm talking about a dog now. I wasn't talking about my children, although they do poop everywhere sometimes. So I'm a person who always wants to fix things. So then I asked God, God, what is my purpose in life? What is your purpose for me? What do I need? And whenever I ask that question, I'm always expecting God to have this like super awesome plan for me. I'm always expecting like this incredible thing that he's going to show me through scripture that's just going to be like, yes, propel my life in this direction, and then I'm just going to follow him to the ends of the earth. But God didn't tell me that my purpose was being a member of the Air Force. He didn't tell me it was going to be a barista. He didn't even tell me it was going to be a pastor. He didn't show me that in doing something, I would find purpose. He showed me who I needed in order to live in that purpose. That's good. Yep. I needed a person. I needed somebody, and I needed Jesus. Amen. And then he led me to the scripture. In Matthew 22, 36 through 40, this is the disciples talking to Jesus. He says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." I thought, wait, it can't be that simple. It can't be that easy. And it's not easy, not easy. That's not a good word for it. Simple. It can't be that simple. My second point is what God was trying to tell me. He's just saying to love God, love people. Love God, love people. In order to do this, you must first realize that you are loved. In order to love a great and loving God, you have to first realize that you are loved. And in doing that, when Jesus came, as we see in 1 John 4:19, and the reason why we love is because he first loved us. Amen. And then not to just know that you are loved, but to actually believe that you are loved. I think oftentimes we know that we're loved. We have the knowledge. Yeah, I'm loved. I'm loved. God loves me. That's awesome. But we don't believe it. We don't believe it. And I've struggled with this. And oftentimes I find myself wondering why I can't love certain people. Why some people just push my buttons to where I'm like, I don't know, I just can't love them. They're unlovable. Sometimes that was my sister, which, praise God, she just had her baby this morning, and I'm an uncle now. We're an uncle and aunt for the first time, which is awesome. I can't wait to go meet her. But I often wonder why I can't love these people. And I found that it's because I haven't been loving God. I haven't been spending time with him.
That's good.
Come on. Listen, though, we're called to all people. We're called to the people that make us angry. We're called to the people that make us, we're called to love the people that make us bitter. Called to love those, our world leaders. You can't say that we love everyone and then go on Facebook and start posting about how much of a bigot Trump is. You can't do that. I know that, you know, Brian talked about this in his message the other day about, like, politics. And honestly, I don't talk about politics with anyone because I feel like there's more pressing matters at hand. And I think that the call to bring people to salvation is way more important than the politics, left, right, whatever it is.
Amen.
But oftentimes we get so captured by this, and we get drawn into, and I think Satan deceives us into thinking that we can just bash these people that we don't even know.
That's right.
We think we know them because of the decisions they make and stuff, and we disagree with them. I don't have any problem with disagreeing with people, but man, it's not loving to go and just tell them how much we hate them on our social medias and stuff. That's not love. In fact, I would say Christians in America show more hate than love these days. So what does showing love look like, though? And I have a video that I want to show. It's just a minute-long clip. Don't play it yet. And it's this video of this guy, and you probably know him. His name's Penn Jillette. He's the guy from Penn & Teller, magician. And he's a devout atheist, if you didn't know that about him. And after a show, just to premise this, because I'm not going to play the whole video is like 5 minutes. And it's just him talking about this experience he had with a believer, where he still firmly believes that there's no God, but it was the fact that this person came up to him and shared the message of love with him. And and you'll get the whole gist of it in a sec, but he came up after the show and was just complimenting him and stuff, but then he just shared his faith with him, shared God's love with him, shared that there is eternal life, there is something after this, and I just want you to have, he gave him a little Bible and wrote something in it and said, I just want you to have this, and it's just this little story, but I'll just let you watch it, so you guys can play that video for me real quick.
And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling on this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I always thought that, and I've written about that, I thought of it conceptually. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all.
It's interesting that someone who is a devout atheist would understand the gravity of sharing the gospel with people, that he appreciated it so much that someone would even offer him that. But the fact that, like he said in the video, like to avoid like an awkward confrontation with somebody or an awkward moment where they tell us no, like, but the fact that we keep that from them, how hateful that can be. How hateful that is to not even bring it up because we're scared of, you know, what might happen to us. Or, and I hope that, and I didn't mean to do that to just like, you know, I hope it convicts you. I mean, it convicted me years ago when I saw the whole video, but it's just this thought that we can actually, you know, we can hate people that much not to share the gift that we've been given. You see, love that Jesus gives isn't a love that we pick and choose for people. It's all inclusive. We have no place to shut people out because we disagree with how they act or what they believe. It's like when you have children, and those of you who have children understand this, that when your kid does something wrong, like for instance, when Julian sticks his head in the toilet to see his poop up close, you know? It's like something like that. Or like when he farts on his brother's head or licks his brother. It's usually Julian doing something to his brother. Or when Julian tries to eat spiders, he tries to eat spiders outside. Like he wanted to, there's spider was eating a bug and I was showing him. And he's like, eat spider? And I was like, yeah, dude, he's eating the spider. And then he's like, ah, like tries to like just grab it with his mouth. Or when he hits others, something like that. But it doesn't ever change the fact that I accept him and love him. And we are supposed to bring people into the presence of God so that they can receive the free gift that he offers to all, the gift of salvation, not to push them away. That's not living in the greater purpose that God has for us. So how do we live this out? How do we live it out? Third point. Be about God's business every day. Be about God's business every day. We all have crazy busy lives. I think we can all agree with that. I know my life is absolutely insane right now with just the things that are going on with like work. But then on top of that, like, you know, you have two little kids and then we just got a puppy. And all this crazy stuff going on. We're up all night, all the time. And sometimes our lives get so crazy that we forget to put aside time for God. So here's what a typical Monday looks like for me. A typical Monday is pretty crazy. So I wake up. So Monday's is my day off after Sunday, and everything happens on Sunday and the whole week and stuff like that. So Monday's like my chill day. And a typical Monday for me, though, at home with the kids, I wake up grumpy and tired because it's 5 a.m. I try not to fall asleep while Julian watches Blippi in the morning. Does anyone know what Blippi is? Oh man, Blippi is not just a TV show. It is a lifestyle in our home. He is like the next gen, like Blue's Clues. He's like he's like our kids' Blue's Clues guy and stuff, like Steve. So I fall asleep only to realize that the other child has woken up, so Talon's up now. And for a couple hours, up for a couple hours, and Talon is ready for he's ready for his nap. And then I hear, right when so Talon falls asleep on my chest, this is always how it goes, falls asleep on my chest, and I'm like just sitting, waiting for him to fall asleep more so then I can go put him down. And then Julian, all I hear from the other room, poo-poo, poo-poo, and he comes out like holding his butt like, ah, like poo-poo. And so, because we're potty training him too, so he like tells us, but it's always right when I just put brother down. So then I have to put brother down too early. He wakes up, he's really crabby, Julian's trying to poop, and and that's only like by, you know, 10 a.m. We're only at 10 a.m. So I take Julian potty while having to wake up Talon. Oh, and all during all of this, it's mom's nap time. So, which means she doesn't nap because she hears us out there just like screaming and everyone's just chaotic and everyone's dying. She knows. She never sleeps. by the way, just shout out to moms. You guys are awesome. So then mom gets up and we plan the day. We figure out what we want to do. And usually at that point, I would go down for a nap. But now we have a puppy, so no naps for dad. And then we go throughout our day, changing poops, playing outside, going to the store. We laugh, we cry, We scream, we watch more Blippi. And then the night settles down, the kids go to bed. And we lay in bed and we're like, oh wow, what a day. We usually talk about like our frustrations at that point. We're like talking about what happened during the day and apologizing for any things that we said to each other or anything like that. But then I think about what happened that day and I realize that God wasn't even a part of it. And I'll be honest, I struggle spending time with God when ministry things aren't needed to be done. When I'm not like working or on the job or when people, you know, I'm hanging out with people or something like that, you know, I struggle with spending that time with God. And I think I've developed this because when I was in the internship, we would meet at 8:30 every day, at least the days we had internship, and we'd pray and we'd worship together and then we'd go about our day. Like it always started that way. And then when I get to work, I have like a similar routine for myself. But then it's like on Mondays and Saturdays, you know, on my days off, oftentimes, sometimes I miss out on that because I'm too worried about sleep or I'm frustrated or something. Those are the times when we need to come to God the most. But why do I struggle with that? Why do I struggle with that? I think it's because I try to fit God into my schedule instead of working my schedule around God's time. It's not very loving to a God when we decide that what we have today should take place of meeting with Him. It's not loving to God. So, to wrap it up, and I know I'm going to get done super early. You're welcome. I actually went faster than I thought I would, and I practiced this, and it went like 45 minutes, but holler, okay. So, what is the ultimate purpose of our lives? What is the ultimate, and I'm just going to leave you with some questions here to wrestle with. You can write them down. What is the ultimate purpose of our lives? Well, let's look at what Matthew 22 said. It said to love God and to love people. To love God and to love people. So what part of that do you struggle with the most? Do you struggle with loving God or loving others? But I think that's kind of a trick question. It goes hand in hand. If we're not loving God, typically we're not loving people. I think we need to be able to love. We need to love God, and this I think it was intentional in Scripture when He made the order, when it was like the very first and most important, but also equally as important is loving people. You know, the first one is loving God with all your heart, and then the second one, equally as important, loving people. They go hand in hand. They're not separate. You can't just love God and not love people. In the same way, you can't not love people. Wait. Yes, not love God. Yes, yes. I was confusing myself. And lastly, what can you do this week better to love God? And the same question, what can you do better this week to love His people? What can you do better? Yeah, that's all I want to say. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank You just for Your love. I thank You that without You, Jesus, that we wouldn't have anything. That our lives would be meaningless. And I pray, Lord, that as we go throughout the day, we would see people and the people that we know that don't know You, Jesus, and we know where they're going, Lord, that we would have a sense of urgency, Jesus. Because we know You're coming soon. We can't wait. We can't afford to wait any longer. God, just give us this desire for people, to bring more people into Your kingdom. That God, everyone we come in contact with, we would just allow You to use us, that Your Holy Spirit would speak through us, Lord, and that we would just love people by sharing this free gift that You have with them. God, I pray that as we go throughout this week, we would just think about You every day. That we would think about You all the time. That when we wake up in the morning, Lord, we would wake up to meet You. And then when we go to bed, You're the last thought on our mind. Jesus, I just thank You. You're incredible. We love You. We just have an amazing day today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you guys. You guys are awesome. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me preach. So, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Do we know who's on prayer right now? Do we know? Oh, okay. I'm also available if you guys need prayer. Jody is available for prayer as well. We'll be up here. If you guys, Tim, if you want to throw on some music and stuff too, just some soft music, that'd be great. Awesome, guys. Thank you.